The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, September 9th, 2012, if you're listening live, and whatever time it might be if you're listening to the recording. In either case, welcome. I am so glad that you have chosen to be here, that you are choosing to join me and join the process of awakening yourself. Not that joining me begins that process for anyone, but I am very pleased to have you here joining in this particular way at this particular time. There are no accidents. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And we always are co-creating. And I love to bring that fact, as far as I'm concerned, it's a fact, into conscious experience at the beginning of each one of these programs, as those of you know who've listened before. And so what we're going to do is make the connections as consciously as possible so we can all have that at an experiential level that we are creating this together. So to start with, we're going to go in and connect with our own power more fully. So whatever way works best for you, what I'm asking you to do is open up to connect with your own divinity, with the master within you, with your own true source of power. And so for many, that involves going into the heart center. That seems to be one of the best ways to open up that doorway to connect with our own divinity. So if that works for you, great. If not, whatever other way might work, just allow yourself to breathe in with that intention that you are opening up to expand your experience of your divinity, to allow that essence of yourself to fill your physical body, to fill your emotional body, to fill your mental body, to fill your energy field, to fill you, whatever you might be, whoever you are. You're now becoming more of yourself as you allow that divine essence to fill the spaces that are within. So just breathe easily, gently, but deeply, and let yourself become more of who you are. And of course, this aspect of yourself, this aspect of each of us, is always available. We can choose to do this anytime at all. And now is a good time, but so is every other moment. So don't let this be something that, well, is like how many people attend church. They go there and get spirituality. They go there and connect with God. And then they walk out, and the rest of their life is something separate from that. And that's one of the major things I want to talk about today. But before I do that, let's continue on and make some more connections, or rather open and remember the connections that are there always. And so the next connection to open up is that connection with our Mother Earth. We are here experiencing a physical lifetime right now, and we could not do that without her. And she is always there supporting us. That energy that is experienced by us as gravity, which I find interesting that gravity can sometimes be also thought of as being solemn. If something is grave, it's solemn. But gravity, our connection with her is love. And so she's always giving us this love that literally keeps us here. And so allow yourself to open to that love, that energy of support. She's holding us up very literally in space, and open to that love and support she offers. So again, whatever way works best for you. For many, open up the chakras in the feet and the root. For others, open up the skin, the cells in the skin, your entire body. But in any case, you're allowing yourself to fill with that sense of connection, that experience of love that she provides, that she is a primary source of in this experiential realm. And so again, let that fill you, your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body. And so knowing that these connections are going to remain open, the connection with our own divinity, the connection with our Mother Earth, let's move on to open another. And that is to the spiritual realms, what we think of as the spiritual realms, where the ascended masters and the angels are at, and the spirit guides, etc., and allow yourself to open there. And this is about connecting with those beings that are always there to support you. So your own personal guides and angels, teachers, etc., on the spiritual dimension. And once more, we're opening up to allow the energy of their love for us and the energy of their support for us to flow in more fully. And as we do that, allow yourself to fill up with that energy, with that essence. And as you do that, allow yourself to connect with gratitude. And, we might as well send that back to Mother Earth, since I neglected or forgot to do that. But allow yourself to offer your gratitude back to these beings, these divine beings, for their love and support. And as we do that, it opens up a space inside of us so that we can receive more of that love and support. And the same thing with our Mother Earth. Allow that gratitude to flow back to her, and it opens up and we can experience more of her love and support. And just allow that to come in. And again, to fill you on every level, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, your entire energy field. And let's continue on. And this time we're connecting with each other and this community of those listening to Exposing the Masters Within. We are creating the mass consciousness that is creating what gets shared here today. And so allow yourself to open up. Each of us has that intention in our own way that we would seek to expand in our mastery, that we would seek to expand in our true power. Not the power that's out there in the world that people think of as domination over others or control or any of that, but true power, which is our own ability to chart our course in life, our own ability to create what we desire. And so, with that shared intention, there is, again, an energy of support. As we tap into that, as we connect to that, it expands how much we can allow ourselves to experience of that personally. And so connect with that, open to that, and open as well to share that, to share your intention for mastery, toward mastery. And as you do so, you feed into that mass consciousness, and everyone else is able to expand how much they can receive as well. And this goal, if you will, of stepping into mastery that we explore here each week, this goal is one that is about love. I can't step into my mastery alone. It's not that I can't do it alone. In fact, we each must make that choice alone. But as I step toward and into my mastery, my desire is for everyone else to be able to do that as well. In fact, that's a core component of why I'm offering this program, why I co-create this with all of you, because that's my desire. And that's another piece of the support that we receive from connecting to the group, is that I believe the more we step into that individually, the more we desire that for the collective. And so coming together in this way, as it's been said, it's talked about that Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, I am there. Well, I believe that that's true of all divinity, and it's magnified when we come together in shared intention. Our shared intention is magnified in what we can receive personally. And so let's step out yet again and draw the widest circle that we're going to draw here as we begin the program. And this is with all of humanity. And each one of us embody somewhere, I believe, even those in the most abject situation, even those in the most despair, we wouldn't have despair if we didn't have the desire, the inner knowing, the spark of that light within us that says it can be better. And so we each have that drive in us to move toward mastery, to move toward empowerment, to move toward improvement. And so now we're reaching out to connect with all of humanity, both those who are unconscious of choosing to walk any spiritual path. And so that spark is that spark of desiring to improve things, and those that I would call the light workers who are consciously walking this path toward mastery. Whether they ever come in contact with any of us directly, whether they ever even know that this program exists, is irrelevant, because that intention they have to move forward in their mastery, we can connect with. We can connect with, because that is a mass conscious energy. And so what we're doing is opening to that mass consciousness, and that shared intention, again, feeds us and allows us to open more fully to step into that ourselves. And so allow yourself to breathe all of this in and all of this through you, and these connections will be open throughout the time that we are doing the program here today. Wonderful. And again, thank you for that. Thank you for that connection, because that is how I bring forth what shows up here today. Now, each time I prepare for one of these programs, essentially what I'm doing is opening to the flow that's coming. I'm not sitting down to chart the course of what's going to be talked about during a particular program. I'm not sitting down to say, it's going to be this and this and this. What I'm sitting down to do, although sometimes it happens when I'm standing or walking or some other way, lying down. What I'm doing when I'm opening in this way is to connect with that energy that is going to be what serves best at a particular time, what serves best for a particular program. And today, as happens much of the time, things will just start to catch my attention, and they often seem fairly random. Even when I'm here to start talking, they can seem fairly random. This morning, I was sitting outside reading, and a small insect of some kind landed on my hand, and whatever the tiny motion was when it landed there, it caught my attention. So I looked up from my book and I looked down at it, and it was some flying insect that I've never seen one of before. It wasn't a fly. It wasn't a gnat. It wasn't a mosquito. Here I'm thinking it's a mosquito. I looked down at this thing, and it's got this beautiful green iridescent body, and it's just sitting there. And obviously, I'm not inside its consciousness, so I don't know what it was thinking. If bugs have thoughts, I don't know. I believe they have consciousness, but I don't know if they have thoughts. But what came out of my mouth is, well, what are you? What are you? Not who are you, what are you? And what immediately followed was God. And it was one of those moments of just truth coming out. And I, again, it wasn't something I was looking for. It wasn't something I was thinking about or trying to create. There's no way I could have done that at my current state of development. I can't call the bugs to me to land on me. And yet here was divinity in a form I had never experienced it before, landing there. And I don't remember what I know what book I was reading. I don't remember what the topic was on the particular page I was on at that time. But it seemed like a marker in some way, this little interaction. And later I was reading further in that particular book. And out of the peripheral vision, out of the corner of my eye, I caught this flight over to the side. And it was a beautiful, I don't know, I don't think it was a monarch, but it was a beautiful orange butterfly. Just came forward into my vision, and as I turned toward it, it flew back where it came from and it was gone. And again, it was a mark. And that time I actually felt chills. I mean, I knew when that answer came in first that that insect on my hand was God. It struck me, but not as strongly as this butterfly did, because that really connected with something I was reading on the page. And again, what I was reading has gone away, but the impact remains, because I had that butterfly of confirmation show up. And this is a fairly long preface here to get to what I came to as the topic here today, which is a topic I've discussed previously, but not in this way. And the topic is story. Story. Humans, we are storytellers. We are storytellers. And I never really considered myself to be a very good storyteller. I was always much more of the listener than I was the storyteller previously in my life. And yet, as this idea came to me today, and as it kind of bounced around as I was reading, as I was doing meditation, as I was doing other things today, what came together was that story is much more than we tend to think of it. We tend to think of it as, you know, it's a book, or it is, well, a story gets turned into a movie or a television show or whatever. It's got excitement. It's got this conflict. You know, I used to be an English teacher, so it's got exposition, and it's got a denouement, and it's got a climax, and it's got development, and it's got characters and all of these things. But story, as it was coming to me today, is so much more than just that limited form that we call story. And to explain what I mean by that, I'm going to start back with, well, when I was working on my master's degree in theater, there was a professor there who was in the theater department, and she was focused on not so much the traditional theater plays that were written and things like that, but what is commonly called now performance art, although that may not be how most people would look at it, or most people would know it. It's a more improvised kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily follow the same structure. It's not necessarily all written down in advance and memorized the way plays and movies are, etc. It's a more improvised kind of thing. And while I was there, she put on a production that was called History, Her Story. And it was very much about the idea that because history was written mainly by men, women were missing from it and not as important, etc. And not getting into the feminist argument or whatever, it brings me closer to how I want to approach this topic today. Because history, as is kind of implied in that title, is his story. And so she wanted to also do her story. And what I want to get to is my story. Not me personally, my particular story, but my story as what we each walk around with in our lives. A good friend of mine and another spiritual teacher and channel that I know, Jewel, she has a phrase that I love. And the phrase is the way that it is. That's the way that it is. We each have our way that it is, and it meaning life, the way that life is, and that is our beliefs, and it's based in what we've been taught. It's based in our experiences. It's based in our entire life, and for those of you who are so inclined, and you're probably not listening if you're not so inclined, our other lives, that is where our way that it is comes from. But our way that it is essentially a story. It's a story that we tell ourselves. Now, for instance, I'm going to give you a piece of my story. I already said it. They're very small. And part of it was that bug landing on my hand. And part of it was that butterfly coming forward. And for me, my story that I'm experiencing right now in my life is that when I have, as the phrase goes, the eyes to see and the ears to hear, I can connect with the divine in any and every moment. Anytime I'm open to that, it can be connected for me. And so this bug lands on my hand. Well, I don't have a story that bugs landing on me is some devastating thing. I have a story that if a mosquito lands on me, it's already been giving a warning that it has less than a second to leave, otherwise it will be dispatched in another way. My own personal bias, my own personal story. But other bugs, not a big deal. I don't need to get rid of them. I don't need to figure them out. And as that one said to me when I asked, "What are you?" and it replied, "God," there's a lot more going on there. And when that butterfly came forward, that was for me an energetic confirmation, a butterfly transformation, the mythological idea or the archetypal idea. Butterfly goes from the cocoon, through the cocoon, to become the butterfly, transforming out of that caterpillar. And so when I saw that, and it, again, just the lightest flicker out of the corner of my eye to catch it, that was me catching confirmation. That was me connecting with the divine and having a confirmation from the divine that there was truth in that particular sentence I was reading. And if you've walked this path for any length of time of opening to your mastery more fully, you probably have had multiple experiences of that kind of thing where a confirmation shows up. And yet it's important, I think, right now anyway, in this moment, I think it's important that we recognize how much our story that we tell ourselves matters in the reality that we experience. Because we are here as co-creators. And we create through story. That's what humanity does. And there's another, and I, as you know, love the spiritual cliches. The one spiritual cliche that comes to mind right now is what we resist persists. And what we resist is all story. It's all story. Let me explain what I mean by that. When we have an experience, we have an experience. It may be something that we like. It may be something that we hate. It may be something that we find neutral or boring or whatever our emotional experience might be. It's an experience. And then we have our story of that experience. Now, again, for me, that bug landing right there in between my thumb and finger, my interpretation of that is my story. Theoretically, objectively, in the world of me and that bug, the bug landing on me and staying there for as long as it stayed, that was an objective reality. That was an event. I experienced it. That bug couldn't have weighed very much, so I'm not even sure how I sensed it was there, because I wasn't looking at my hand when it landed. I just looked down and there it was. But that was an event. And now I've got story that goes with that. I've got, well, even the event of me saying, "What are you?" That was something that happened. And that God answer was, something that happened for me. And now I've got story that goes with that. I've got, for me, story is interpretation. It's not just the events. It's how we interpret those events. And I know lots of people on this path, and I do it as well, who are looking for the meaning of the events all the time. What's going on in my life? Why? Why did this happen? What am I to learn from this? What can I learn from this? How can I gain from this? And I'm certainly not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's something to be aware of. Because at the first level, we are here to experience. And yes, our experience has a physical dimension. It has an emotional dimension. It has a mental dimension. And as I've talked about on other programs, each of those aspects, our physical, our emotional, and our mental bodies, are tools that our divine is using to explore this experiential realm. And each one of those tools has what Osiris calls a motivation. And the motivation of the physical body is to keep us alive. And the motivation of the emotional body is to move toward happiness, away from pain toward happiness. And the motivation of the mental body is that of seeking understanding. And even beyond that, even beyond just understanding, is meaning. And that's where the storytelling comes in. And we tell the story to ourselves as a way to find the meaning of the experiences in our lives, and as a way to, hopefully at least, create lives with more meaning, lives that are comprehensible, lives that we understand, so that we can make choices that make sense within our understanding. One of the worst things that we go through, or can go through, I believe, for many of us, is being, well, does the phrase "completely at a loss" mean something to you? It certainly does to me. It's when I have no understanding. I cannot conceive of why what is happening to me is happening to me. Because in those moments, I don't have any sense of myself as a creator. I don't have any sense of myself as having any power to change the circumstances I'm experiencing. I am literally at a loss. And what have I lost? I've lost that sense of power. I've lost that sense of meaning in my life, in those circumstances. And that's where helplessness comes in, that experience of helplessness, which leads often to the experience of hopelessness. If I feel helpless, if I feel like I don't have power to change my circumstances, if that lasts very long at all, it can very easily lead into hopelessness, which is I will never have any power. And that tends to move in the depression, in the direction of depression, and in the direction of giving up. But that's about story. It's about story. It's about the story we tell ourselves about this particular moment. It's the story that we tell ourselves about this moment that either is empowering, aiding us to expand in our sense of power, in our sense that we are co-creators, that we have choice, that we do make a difference in what is experienced in our lives and what we're creating from this moment forward, or the story is disempowering. And it's a story of victimhood. It's a story of I can't. It's a story of I'm not good enough. It's a story holding on to those pieces that are at the very core of coming into these dimensions and starting out in the experience of separation. And so it is it is a power that we have to work with story. And that's part of the reason why so many of us walking this path are actively seeking that meaning. What's the symbolism here? What's going on at that deeper level? How can I claim my power in these circumstances, in this situation? How can I do that? Well, I would say it's going to be different for each one of us. It's going to be different for each circumstance. If it were the same for each one of us and it were the same for each circumstance, then we would be the same person and life would be very, very dull. We would all be experiencing exactly the same thing at the same time, and it would have the same exact meaning for each one of us, and there would be no uniqueness, no individuality, blah, blah, blah. And that's my version of hell. Everything exactly the same. That's one of my versions of hell, I guess. And that's not the case. But there are certainly things that I believe that are more universal that can be used by each of us. Now, as always, use your discernment. I'm not going to say anything too weird, I don't think. I can say weird things, but I don't think this is one of those times. And what I'm going to say goes right to the heart of why we're here and why I offer this program called Exposing the Masters Within, because at the core of each of us is our divinity, is our mastery. And at the core, I believe, and I have not deeply studied every religion on the planet, but at the core of the religions I'm aware of, there is this idea of the underlying interpenetrating divinity. And so the story, one of the stories that I believe is very useful, very beneficial for us individually, is the story that is our divinity is within us. Or even if we don't personalize it and make it our divinity, although I believe that's a good thing to do, divinity is within each of us. And so whenever we are in one of those places where our story doesn't serve us any longer, where we can't figure out what's going on, where we are at a loss, one story that we can come back to is the story that says our divinity is within us, or divinity is within us, and let's connect to divinity. Divinity knows. Divinity knows. Kind of like Father knows best. Well, in the divine sense, okay, Father knows best, God the Father, or Mother knows best, Mother the Divinity the Mother knows best. And allowing ourselves to connect with that internally. Now, I believe it's most powerful, and again, going back to the choices of story, lots of religions place God outside the self, or at least interpretations of original teachings, place God outside the self, and we need to go to God out there to have God fix it. And this is part of why, for me, it's such a powerful thing in my story to connect with the idea, the story that I have divinity within me. Not only that, I am divine. And that's not about some ego thing. I'm not going to go running around on the street corners with a sign that says, I am God, worship me. But rather, if I have divinity within me and I am divine, then ultimately I am never helpless. Never. Never. Now, it may be that in a particular situation, I can't do anything in that moment to change the circumstances. But that so-called external world. But our experience of every moment is not just the so-called objective reality, which science is beginning to suggest, has been suggesting, doesn't necessarily exist. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean by that, I would bring up relativity here. That as soon as you observe something, the very fact of you observing it changes it. Well, that to me speaks to why eyewitnesses to some crime often give vastly different accounts of what's going on. And for each one of them, that is their experience. That is their truth of that particular event. But we are always perceiving it from our story. Our story filters us. Our story is all of those beliefs about the world. Our story is all of those things. And it colors how we interpret it, and therefore it colors how we would express it later. But back to those moments when we are at a loss. We don't always have the power in a given moment, at least until we come fully into our mastery, fully into our divinity. We don't have the power to just snap our fingers and change the circumstances that we don't like or that we don't want or that are unhappy or etc. But what we do always have is the power to shift our inner experience. And so let me give an example, a way that I think that this can be very useful. And I'm certainly not saying that this is the first time this idea has ever been brought onto the planet. But what I'd like each of us to do is to pick a circumstance where we are at a loss. It can be large or small. It can be something that is just a niggling annoyance in your life. It could be something that is, if I don't find the money, then I'm going to get foreclosed and we're out on the street. But whatever it is, I would like you, if you're willing, to the degree that you're willing, to just focus on it. Breathe into that feeling of being at a loss, of not knowing what to do. As of yet. And just breathe into that for a moment and feel it. And then bring in or breathe into the idea, the story of divinity within you. And just breathe into that. I am divine. Divinity is within me. Whatever way works best for you. I have divinity in me. My soul is always with me. God, Goddess is always in me, etc. Whatever it is, breathe into that. And as you do that, just feel what happens to this other energy. And it's not about trying to find a solution. It's not about trying to fix that situation where you feel at a loss in this moment. All you're doing is bringing these two stories together. You're bringing the story of not knowing what to do in a given circumstance and having that story meet the story of I am a divine being. I have divinity within me. And as you bring them together, just experience what happens. Now, and you can always do this more later, or keep doing it while I continue talking. Ignore me completely. That's always an option. And I would say, when I've done this, when I do this, it eases that sense of being at a loss. It eases it. It doesn't always necessarily erase it completely, although that's probably my own impatience because I don't sit with the two things long enough to get to that point. But just by remembering we have multiple stories going and bringing some of these stories together, we can shift our reality. We can shift our experience. And again, you would not be listening to this. You would not be connecting with this. You would not be co-creating this with me today if you didn't already have as part of your story this belief, or if it's not a full-on belief, this idea, this thought, that there's more to life than just the surface, and that there is divinity in us, and that we have the opportunity, we have the pathway, we have the potential to experience that divinity more directly, etc. And if you have that, then you can use it. You can use it. And each time you use it, and it does shift some of that at a loss feeling. And it doesn't have to be just that you can use it with. You can certainly use this in other circumstances. We can use this when anger comes up. In those moments of anger, we may not have something that we feel like we can do, but we certainly have more energy to feel like we can do something. But we can do that with other things other than just this sense of helplessness or being at a loss. And the more times we do that, the more times we consciously go to that story of divinity within us and turn it into an experience, the more it becomes truth rather than story. And that's a big piece of what I was looking to get to, is that story has greater or lesser degrees of truth to it. It's a staple on television and in the movies, miscommunication. This is what someone said, and this is how someone else interpreted it. And a comedy of errors ensues, or a tragedy ensues, because the communication was filtered by the person's story. That wasn't what was intended. Or it's like the telephone game when we're kids and someone whispers something to someone else and it goes around the circle, and the message, the statement is very, very different by the time it gets back to the original sender. And why is that? Because we are not computers. We interpret things. We don't just do the logic. And often when we try to do logic, it's flawed logic. We interpret things through our filters, through our stories, through the way that we think it is. And when we can remember that, then we can take a step back. Some spiritual traditions or teachings will talk about being the observer, being the observer of what's going on. And I think that's a useful story. That's a useful tool, even if it's not what we want to do in every circumstance. Because I personally don't believe my story is not that it's we want to be this outside computer just watching things. We want to engage with what's going on without being attached to it, which is another part of the story. that we have, when we have the story of victimhood in us, and it's manifesting in a given situation, it might not be a bad idea to bring up a different story, the story of the hero or the heroine, coming up and changing things. One way to look at a lot of fairy tales is that it's not about Prince Charming and Cinderella or Snow White or whoever else. It's about the victim in us being saved, being fixed, being healed by the part of us that is in our power and expanding that. Victimhood, the energy of victimhood, is the energy of not feeling able to change the situation. It's that being at a loss. And so we bring in a story where we are more powerful than that. And as we step into that story, and I believe a wonderful way to do that is what we did earlier, as we step into that story by bringing that story forward, that is, I have divinity within me, I am divine, divine is working through me, etc., whatever version of that works best. As we do that, we are activating our power. And we can change our circumstances. And it's not wave your magic wand kind of power necessarily, depending on the circumstances. These stories that we are living as truth are deeply embedded. And as we are walking this path of healing and empowerment, what we are seeking to do is create a new story alongside and gradually empower that new story until the other story is no longer being told. For those who've had young children around, whether it was watching a video or reading a book, it's amazing how many times young children will want to hear or see the same story over and over and over and over again. Why is that? Because they are embedding it, literally embedding it in their brain cells, creating those patterns, taking in that story. When they resonate with a particular story, when it fits with the karmic patterning that they chose to come in and experiment with in this lifetime, they will embed that story deeply in their brain cells. And that's literally laying down the pathways of karma to a certain degree. And why does one child pick this story and another child that story? Well, it depends upon what they're seeking to create within them. They're not doing it consciously, but they are creating the story that they're going to tell themselves for a while until they're ready to step into greater and greater mastery. And hopefully they're choosing stories that are more empowered than what has happened in the past on the planet. But let's not limit that to just the children. Let's take that on ourselves and step into stories, and this one story in particular, that the master is within me. Each of us. The master is within me. The divine is within me. And I can connect with that in any and every moment, in any and every circumstance, and change my experience and step a little more fully into my mastery by exposing my mastery more to myself. Because that's the first boundary we have to cross. The first boundary in the way of us stepping into our power is to the degree that we still own the story of unworthiness and separation. and the fear that we have in that story that we don't deserve better. So, I would say, you know, I'm going to do something I've never done before. This phrase came in right before I got the call to start the program. I don't believe I've ever done this on the program so far, but I'm going to issue a challenge. And I'm going to challenge you this week to at least once a day sit down consciously and bring your divinity into some situation in your life that is not the way you wish it to be. Bring the story of you as a divine being to meet the story of you at a loss, or you unhappy, or you in a negative space, and see what happens. And by all means, if you'd wish to share, let me know. All right. One brief commercial announcement here, if you will. In 2 weeks, the weekend of the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Okay, 3 weeks. Looking at the calendar wrong. I will be in Phoenix speaking at the Walk-In's Welcome Conference, and it's going to be a great time. And if any of you are interested, you can probably Google Walk-In's Welcome Conference Phoenix and find information on it. If not, you can email me. I can never remember the spelling of the website, so I won't give that to you. But it's going to be great. There's a lot of really good speakers going to be there and a wonderful group going to be joining. So if any of you are interested in transforming your life and coming together in essentially a spiritual pilgrimage, joining together in a mass consciousness over the course of a weekend, that can be exceptionally transformative. So if you want more information on that, let me know, send me an email, give me a call, and I can get that to you or direct you to where to find it. So, all right, let's see. I guess it's time to do some channeling. So if you will, just allow your breathing to deepen. I will do the toning to open up the doorways and allow whoever's going to speak today to show up and to come in. So, we are. Let us get the words in the right order for your language. We are the Arcturian Council of the Awakening Light Body. So, we are pleased to be with you here today. And we have been brought here by you to offer you a gift, and that gift is a shift within the patterning in the brain that will enable a greater ease in expansion of your light body, an expansion of moving into your direct experience of your divinity. So, for those of you who resonate with this and would feel that you would like to receive this, allow yourself to make that statement either internally or out loud, that I do choose to receive this gift from the Arcturian Council. So be it. So, what we are actually activating, and we have begun for those of you who have assented to receive this, what we are activating is a new grid of light between certain aspects of the physical brain or the structures within the brain. So it is between the pineal and the pituitary gland. It is also from each of them to the hypothalamus. It is also to each of them, from all of those back to the medulla oblongata. And it is, shall we say, awakening a new vortex spinning within your brain, within your energy field. And it is connecting down into the spinal column as well, so it is going out through the entire nervous system. And what it is doing is it is, shall we say, thinning the story in the context of what you have just heard, but thinning the experience that you have, that you are primarily physical, that has mental and emotional as part of your experience. And so it is thinning the dominance of the physical in your conception of yourself. And it is going to be aiding the equalizing, shall we say, between the physical, the emotional, and the mental bodies. Even those of you who are predominantly experiencing the world through the mental body, at the same time, you have an extreme focus that this is a physical realm. And so that is what we are saying is thinning that dominance of the physical aspect of reality, regardless of whether you primarily experience through the physical, emotional, or the mental. Definitionally, you are seeing yourself as a physical being. And so that story is deeply embedded in coming into this reality. Now, additionally, this is opening up new circuitry in the crown chakra and in the third eye, which will also gradually over the next 3 weeks drop down through the central channel to activate change in each of the other chakras. But it is about taking it down in a gradual way so that it does not disrupt your life, but it merely allows it to be enhanced and shifted. So do not expect that you will find yourself waking up tomorrow morning levitating 6 feet above your bed because you are now no longer as physical as you were today. It will take longer for the levitation to occur. We are kidding, dear ones. That is not the purpose of this. However, as this does descend, as this does ground through your system, it is going to be creating changes. So you might make a note of this day in your calendar. This was the day that the Arcturians came and put that in and installed that. And they said within the next 3 weeks is when it will integrate, etc. And just put a thought in your consciousness now to notice. Not that you have to look for, but notice when it rises in your consciousness. Experiences that would allow you to have this story have more reality, to have this experience have more reality, to have this transformation have more reality. And so, dear ones, we say to you, good work for those of you who chose to open to receive this. You were very, very receptive, and know that we are available for those of us, you who have resonance with us, to receive other support at other times. Namaste, dear ones. Well, chuck that up on the list, another new group channel. Anyway, all right, well, at this time then, Doug, you can go ahead and start those chimes, and I would like to chime in here with my thanks to each of you for co-creating this with me here today, co-creating this shared story. And of course, please give me your thoughts, your feedback, your questions, your comments. The email, as always, is contactlight@aol.com. The phone number is also on the BBS website down at the bottom there if you'd like to let me know that way. But let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, questions, comments, topics, anything you'd like to share, I would love to hear. So, I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope that you'll be there to join me. In any case, I wish you a wonderful week of exploring and exposing your own power to yourself. Much love, my friends. Namaste.